Iman Rush Audio is proud to present to you The Last Supper, The Life of Isa ibn Maryam, a lecture by Muhammad al-Sharif.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Inna alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu subhanahu wa nasta'inuhu wa nasta'gfiruh, wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu ta'ala fala mudilla lah, wa man yudlil fala hadiya lah. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. All praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him. We seek His help and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. Whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, no one can misguide that person. And whoever Allah allows to go astray, no one can guide that person back to the truth. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and that Muhammad, peace be upon him, is his slave and messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be upon him, when he came to Mecca with the message of Islam, the people reacted in different ways. There were those who believed in the Prophet, upon whom be peace, and there were those who were wondering what this message was, and they held back. And then there was a third group, a group that took their ignorance to a different level and they took it to arrogance. And so they chose to punish and harm those people who believed in the message of Islam. And so the Muslims were tortured. And amongst them, there were those who had tribes to defend them. And so those people who had tribes to defend them, they were in the protection of the tribes. But there were many slaves and weak people, and in fact, some of the wealthy Muslims in Mecca were tortured by their own family. And so we see, for example, Sumayya, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with her. She was the first martyr in Islam. She was killed by this human slave master who insisted upon her to reject her belief in the one and true God. And she would not recant her faith until it took her to her death. And so the Muslims spoke to the Prophet, peace be upon him, about this. And they asked permission to go to Habasha, Abyssinia, so they could escape with their faith, escape and be able to worship God alone. And so the person who came and asked the Prophet, peace be upon him, was his cousin, Ja'far ibn Abi Talib. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with him. And so Ja'far went with a delegation of Muslims. And as you may know, that in that delegation was the daughter of the Prophet herself. May Allah be pleased with her. Uthman radiallahu anhu and his wife, the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they went to Habasha. And as the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, because in Habasha, in Abyssinia, there's a king who will not allow injustice to happen in his kingdom. So the Muslims arrived in Habasha. And they were led by Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, the cousin of the Prophet, peace be upon him. And the Abyssinians, they were Christian. And they found justice there. The people of Mecca, realizing that a group of the Muslims had now escaped from their control, they went on a mission to extradite them back to Mecca. To bring them back to Mecca, back under their control, so that they can inflict any kind of injustice that they could. And so the people of Mecca, the chiefs of Mecca, sent two people, Amr ibn al-As and Abdullah ibn Abi Rabi'a, to Habasha. When they went to Habasha, they came with many gifts. And they spoke to the bishops. And they offered the gifts and so on and so forth. And they said, you know, there's a group of people that you have here from Mecca. And this is the case, that these are very evil people. These Muslims, they're very evil, wicked. They divide families. And they come with a religion against the religion of their parents. And so we know them better than you know them. And so give us these people back so we can take them to justice in our city of Mecca. And they were speaking to the bishops. And they said, we're going to ask this to An-Najashi, the king of Abyssinia, the Negus. And when we asked him, we want you to support our opinion. And so they looked at the gifts and they said, you know, these gifts look good, sounds good, we'll support you. And so they went to An-Najashi, they presented it, you know how diplomacy is. And then they said, listen, there are these people amongst you, they're not on your religion, they're not on our religion, they've left the religion of their fathers, they've divided, they're evil people, they're wicked, we know them better than you know them, so just give them to us and everything will be happy. Everybody just go home happy. And Najashi, as the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, he was a person who didn't allow injustice. And he got very, the bishops actually defended their opinion. And Najashi said, no, I will not hand them over until I speak to them and hear from them and what they have to say. And so the Muslims were called. And at the head of them was Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, the cousin of the Prophet, peace be upon him, and may Allah be pleased with him. They, amongst themselves, basically, this is a court case. They're coming to court, and if they lose this court case, it's basically like a death sentence, that they'll be going back to Mecca in chains to be tortured in Mecca. And so amongst themselves, they agreed that none of them would speak except Ja'far ibn Abi Talib. He was the spokesperson, the cousin of the Prophet, peace be upon him. And he was speaking to the king of Abyssinia. So when he came, and actually I want to quote for you exactly what he said, because it was one of the beautifulest speeches ever given about what the message of Islam is. Ja'far ibn Abi Talib came forward, and Najashi asked him, he said that they are claiming that you are not on my religion, not on their religion, that you've divided amongst the family, that you're evil, wicked people. And so what do you have to say? So Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, he came forward. And I actually thought about this, about what he said, what they were taken away from. And you can compare this to your own community. And misguidance that's running rampant. And immorality. And the eating of dead animal flesh. And all of these abominations that are happening. This is what the Meccan society was. So Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, may Allah be pleased with him, he said, O King, we were a people in a state of ignorance and immorality. We used to worship idols, and we used to eat the flesh of dead animals, committing all sorts of abomination and shameful things, breaking our family bonds, treating our guests painfully, and the strong preyed on the weak, or you can say, i.e., survival of the fittest. This was our society. We remained in this state until Allah sent us a prophet. Someone who we knew his family. We knew his truthfulness. We knew his trustworthiness. And we knew his integrity. And so then Ja'far ibn Abi Talib then continues. What did the Prophet ﷺ call them to? What was the message of Islam that he told them after all of this happened? He said that he called us, that Muhammad called us to worship God alone. And to reject the stones, to reject the idols, and to reject anything that's worshipped other than Allah, and anything that their ancestors had worshipped other than Allah alone. He commanded us to speak only the truth. He commanded us to only tell the truth. He commanded us to honor our promises, to be kind to our family, to be kind and helpful to our neighbors, to cease all forbidden acts, to stop killing and abstain from the bloodshed, to abstain from obscenities and abstain from false witness, that we were not to steal from the property of the orphans, and that we were not to slander righteous, chaste women. He ordered us to worship Allah alone and to associate nothing with Allah, to uphold and establish our prayers, to give our fast, our charity, and fast in the month of Ramadan. And so we believed in him. And what he brought to us from Allah, and we followed him in what he asked us to do, and we stayed away from everything that he told us to stay away from. So what was the conclusion to all of this? Thereupon, O King, our people attacked us because of all of this. They attacked us and brought the severest punishment down upon us for what we chose. And they wished to take us back to the immorality and to take us back to the worship of the stones and the idols. And they oppressed us. The injustice came down. And it became intolerable. And life became obstructed upon them that they couldn't worship. Or he's saying that we couldn't worship our religion. And so we left for your country, choosing you before anyone else, desiring protection and hoping to live in justice and in peace in your midst. Now this, dear brothers and sisters, is an English translation. And you can see the power just in the English translation. You can imagine how powerful it is when it's said in Arabic. Not only that, but how powerful it is when you're hearing it from the cousin of the Prophet, peace be upon him, Ja'far radiallahu anhu. And so in Najashi, as you heard from the translation, he was impressed. He liked what he heard. And he said, do you have any examples, anything that your Prophet has brought? And he's asking about the Quran. And so Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, I'm sure, had memorized that his chunks of Quran. He began reciting from Surah Maryam, the chapter of Mary. And he recited it, and I'll recite it as Ja'far radiallahu anhu recited it that day. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
واذكر في الكتاب مريم إذ انتبذت من أهلها مكانا شرقيا فاتخذت من دونهم حجابا فأرسلنا إليها روحنا فتمثل لها بشرا سويا قالت إني أعوذ بالرحمن منك إن كنت تقيا قال إنما أنا رسول ربك لأهب لك غلاما زكيا قالت أنى يكون لي غلام ولم يمسسني بشر ولم أك بغيا قال كذلك قال ربك هو علي هين ولنجعله آية للناس ورحمة منا وكان أمرا مقضيا فحملته فانتبذت به مكانا قصيا فأجاءها المخاض إلى جذع النخلة قالت يا ليتني مت قبل هذا وكنت نسيا منسيا فناداها من تحتها ألا تحزني قد جعل ربك تحتك سريا وهزي إليك بجذع النخلة تساقط عليك رطبا جنيا فكلي واشربي وقري عينا فإما ترين من البشر أحدا فقولي إني نذرت للرحمن صوما فلن أكلم اليوم إنسيا فأتت به قومها تحمله قالوا يا مريم لقد جئت شيئا فريا يا أخت هارون ما كان أبوك امرأ سوء وما كانت أمك بغيا فأشارت إليه قالوا كيف نكلم من كان في المهد صبيا قال إني عبد الله قال إني عبد الله آتاني الكتاب وجعلني نبيا وجعلني مباركا أينما كنت وأوصاني بالصلاة والزكاة ما دمت حيا وَبَرًّا بِوَالِدَتِي وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْنِي جَبَّارًا شَقِيًّا وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيَّ يَوْمَ وُلِدْتُ وَيَوْمَ أَمُوتُ وَيَوْمَ أُبْعَثُ حَيًّا ذَلِكَ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمَ قَوْلَ الْحَقِّ الَّذِي فِيهِ تَمْتَرُونَ.
When Ja'far radiallahu anhu recited this to An-Najashi, An-Najashi, he started crying, listening to the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he swore by Allah. He swore by Allah that the message that Prophet Muhammad, upon whom be peace, had brought, comes from the exact same source of the message that was brought to Prophet Jesus, upon whom be peace. And so then he turned to Amr ibn al-As and he said, "Go, for I will never hand them over to you." And he told the Muslims that you are safe to stay in this country for however long you wish. And actually they stayed for a decade in Habasha. They lived there for 10 years until the situation had changed in Mecca and in Medina, and they returned to the Prophet, upon whom be peace. Dear brothers and sisters, and respected guests, and listeners, we're told very often in our schools that religion is all about this mountain. And some people climb the mountain from this side, and some people climb from the other side. And it doesn't matter what side of the mountain you climb on, it's all good. So whether you're this religion or that religion, it doesn't matter. Dear brothers and sisters, I'm telling you honestly that that's a lie. It does matter. And there is only one mountain that can be climbed. There are many mountains out there, but there is only one mountain that can be climbed, and that is the mountain of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And on that mountain, there are many ways of climbing to the top. You can, if you're fasting and you're consistent in your fasting, maybe Bevrayan, you're climbing from the fasting direction. Or someone gives a lot of charity, they climb from that side of the mountain. Or someone is good in this, or someone is good in that. There are many ways of climbing the mountain, but there is only one mountain. Some people, they will struggle their whole lives climbing, 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 but they're climbing the wrong mountain. And it will be rejected because they haven't done it for God. And so the person has to get on the right mountain. And inshallah, God willing, today I'm going to be speaking about that mountain of worshiping God alone. The reason I chose this subject, actually, when you see in the title, The Last Supper, that's just referring to the supper that we had. It has no relation to the lecture. In the past few years, many of you have seen the situation that's happened to Muslims in America and Muslims around the world. And for those people who are more involved in this, whether they've been falsely accused, and there are people serving jail sentences, people who have been unjustly detained, and all of those things, one of the pain that's in the heart of the Muslim is their wish that they had taught the non-Muslims more about Islam before this situation had arisen. And so, if you go out and survey people, what do you know about Muslims? We know that they double park our houses. We know that, you know, they make a lot of noise in Ramadan. We know that they speed down. That's about all we know about Muslims. And I always thought to myself, when a Muslim leaves a community, what are they leaving behind? What are they leaving behind for the community? If nothing is left behind, then that Muslim hasn't lived the life of a Muslim. And it's just pure and simple. If you leave your apartment, you put it up for sale, and you go, and your neighbor doesn't know that you were ever there, then that's a problem. And so I'm standing here today, and hopefully, God willing, inshallah, that this lecture can be used for many people trying to get the message of Islam to the Christians that live around us, so that we can tell them the truth. And I know usually what happens in these lectures, there's two styles. One style will be, "Oh, we're just like you. we do, you know, everything's great. Oh, we like Jesus too. And then they're like, oh, then what's the difference between you and us? You're just Christian, but you just claim to be Muslim, right? And then the person's like, no, that's not the message that we're trying to get. And then you get the opposite side, which is basically a banging heads type of lecture. I will tell you why the Christians are wrong from 75,000 different ways. And boom, 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 50,000 mistakes and those type of lectures. And Allahu A'lam, I don't think the message gets across in either of the two styles. The only way the message can get across is if we go back to our intentions. And that intention is that as human beings, we all must be searching for the truth. Everybody goes through their life searching for the truth. Some people find the truth and follow it. Others might find the truth and pass by it. But that is the goal that we're looking for. And inshallah, God willing, today, that I'm going to try to present some of the truth as mentioned in the Quran. Before I begin, I want to mention a story that happened. I met a brother, African-American brother, and he's from Indianapolis, Indiana. And we were, you know, there was a program going on there, and some of the younger, I believe I was like 13 years old at that time, 13, 14. And, you know, we had memorized some Quran at that age, and this was a brother. You know, we said, oh, how much Quran do you know? And he said, well, you know, I only know, you know, these 10 or 15 chapters of the Quran. But he followed it up by saying why he only knows such few chapters of the Quran. He says, because I don't memorize anything until I teach every single person I know what that chapter is saying. He doesn't just memorize for the sake of memorizing. He actually goes and knocks on his neighbor's door and says, you know what? I learned this in the Quran yesterday. And so he learned Surah Al-A'la. And Surah Al-A'la is chapter 87 in the Quran. He learned it and memorized it. And he went on the bus in Indianapolis. And he started reciting it out loud to everybody. How often does that happen? It doesn't happen too often, right? He was reciting it and he was teaching the people the message of Surah Al-A'la. So he began, سَبِّحْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى. Glorify your Lord, the Most High. And he began explaining and explaining. And he kept continuing through the surah. But there was one woman at the back of the bus who was getting very angry at him. She was Christian. She was getting very angry, and as he continued explaining, her anger was boiling up, boiling up, boiling up, until it hit threshold as he came to the end of the surah. And as he came to the end of the surah, he said the next verse of the Quran, and she shouted out, and their words synchronized. She shouted out to him, she said, every single thing that you're saying is in the Bible already. And as she said that, he said the verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ هَذَا لَفِي الصُّحُفِ الْأُولَى. That verily, this is what came in the scriptures before. And you know it. They said it at the exact same time. She came to the conclusion, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given her that message. And he said, he was silent, she was silent, and everybody on the bus became silent. Dear brothers and sisters, sometimes human beings, they stumble on the truth. They're walking by, they stumble on the truth, right? They're knocked down, they may have hurt themselves, but what happens is that most people just pick themselves up, dust their clothes, and walk away as if nothing happened. So you might hear a good lecture, that's the truth, I can hear. But then they pick themselves up, put their shoes back on, and walk back to their normal lives. And this is not what we want to happen. This is not the intelligent person. The intelligent person, when they recognize the truth, they hold on to it and they follow it. And as the Arabs, they have a saying that says, لَيْسَ الْعَيْبُ أَن تُخْطِئ إِنَّمَ الْعَيْبُ أَن تُصِرُ عَلَى الْخَطَأ. Which they say that it's not a shame for a person to make a mistake. This is what all human beings do. They make mistakes. But the shame is for someone who, after knowing the truth, insists on continuing in the mistake. That's where the shame comes from. And that applies to all humans. In every aspect of their life, that when they find the truth, the shame is in not following the truth. I want to just bring up some glimpses of the verses that Ja'far, may Allah be pleased with him, the verses that he recited to An-Najashi, the king of Al-Habasha. It was basically the story of Mary, the story of Maryam in Arabic, Maryam, alayhi salam, upon whom be peace. The story begins by saying, Wadhkur, it's a commandment from Allah, from God, that the Muslims should remember the story of Mary. And the chapter is named after her, Surah Maryam, the chapter of Mary. Wadhkur means not just to say it as a story, but dhikr is to mention it with your tongue and with your whole body. What does it mean to remember with your whole body? It means to be thankful to God for how He protected Mary. To be thankful for God to how He protected Prophet Jesus, upon whom be peace. And so this morning, actually, in preparing this lecture, this morning, as I made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I thanked Allah azza wa jal for how He protected Maryam alayhi salam. And I thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for how He protected Prophet Jesus alayhi salam. And then my heart, as we say, I had an iman rush at that moment. That my heart was just going up. How do you thank Allah? You thank Allah by coming for Fajr, for the morning prayer. That Allah protected them in all the hardship so that you could have Islam today. And so you thank Allah. And the day that we come to the masjid for Fajr, like this gathering here, is the day we will be successful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will see right from the beginning of that story, explains the purity of Maryam alayhi salam. And when I say alayhi salam, it means upon whom be peace. Maryam alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ مَرْيَمْ إِذْ انْتَبَذَتْ مِنْ أَهْلِهَا مَكَانًا شَرْقِيًّا. When she took a place east of her people, and she was living in Bayt al-Maqdis in Jerusalem. And when she went to comb her hair, showing you the purity of Maryam alayhi salam, when the women would comb their hair, they wouldn't comb their hair publicly, because there may be men that might see them. And so she took a place of distance away from her community so that she could comb her hair, upon whom be peace. And there will be lessons here. You'll see that in modern times, there may be daughters of Maryam alayhi salam, our sisters, that might go out without hijab. And when they do that, their role model is not Maryam alayhi salam. And in order to understand this issue of hijab, they go back and follow that role model of Maryam, because Allah mentioned it in the Quran so that we would take lesson from that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says that when she went to comb her hair, when she went out and took this location, Allah brought an angel to her. An angel was sent, Basharan Sawiya. He was a very handsome man. I don't want to make fun of any brothers here or anything like that. But he was a very handsome man. Very handsome. And so when people see a handsome guy, usually, you know, there's like, hi, how's it going? That's your immediate reaction, right? Someone's handsome. You kind of like, whenever they you walk into a store or something, they hire people just for their looks, so that they bring you at ease. So she's alone. This handsome man comes, and he's an angel. And what does she say in reply? What does she say in reply? This is such a beautiful thing. She said, أَعُوذُ بِالرَّحْمَانِ مِنْكَ إِن كُنْتَ تَقِيًّا. She said, I seek God's protection. I seek the Merciful One's protection from you if you fear God. She didn't say hi. She didn't say, how's everything going? Oh, by the way, you know, this, she didn't say any of that. That was her reaction for fear that he had evil intentions. And this is just showing you the purity of Maryam alayhi salam, even before she receives the news that she's going to have a miraculous baby. And so the man, the angel, said to her that he was a Rasul, a messenger from God, to give her the gift of a child. And so she said in reply, she said, أَنَّا يَكُونُ لِي غُلَامٌ. How can I have a child? وَلَمْ يَمْسَسْنِي بَشَرٌ. no man has touched me. وَلَمْ أَكُ بَغِيًّا عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ. That no man has touched her, meaning in a proper, lawful marriage. وَلَمْ أَكُ بَغِيًّا, that she was not, she had not done anything in lewdness. She had not done it out of prostitution, and she had not done it out of any permissible marriage. How can she have a child? And the angel said in reply, and this is an amazing lesson that you will see throughout the story of Maryam and Zechariah and Ali Imran, the issue of having children. And Ibrahim alayhi salam in their old age, and you know, even if after they had become impotent, he said in reply, قَالَ كَذَلِكَ, that this will be, this is the decree of God. هُوَ عَلَيَّ هَيَّن, that it's easy for your Lord. And I look around the world, you have billions and billions of human beings. It's easy for Allah. That whenever He wants something, whenever He wants to create something, He just says, be. That's it. And it is. Be and it is. What's a beautiful lesson as well that we learn from this story, and I'm just giving you briefly some of these lessons, is that the mother of Maryam, when she was pregnant with Maryam alayhi salam, she made an oath to God that she would dedicate her son to the worship and the basically the maintainship of Bayt al-Maqdis. That she would dedicate him. And so she was saying, oh, this son, I'm going to do this with my son, my son, my son, my son, my son. And she gave birth, and it's a girl. What about the oath? What am I going to do? It's a girl. And many people think girls can't do very much. She says, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it in the Quran, she says, قَالَتْ رَبِّ إِنِّي وَضَعَتُهَا أُنْثَى. She said, my Lord, I gave birth to a girl. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا وَضَعَتْ, that Allah knows what she gave birth to. And she said, and she placed her trust in Allah, وَإِنِّي سَمَّيْتُهَا مَرْيَمْ, that I named her Mary, وَإِنِّي أَعِيذُهَا بِكَ وَذُرِّيَّتَهَا مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ, that I named her Mary, and I seek your protection for her and her children from a shaytan, shaytan the outcast. And so you see this lesson as well from the parents, that what they were concerned with their children was what? Was to protect them from Iblis, to protect them from Satan, to protect them from shaytan, which should be the focus of every parent, is to not allow their children to be deceived by the plot of Satan, and to hold them and protect them, and seek that protection from God. When she had, after the angel had left, and she came the time, they didn't know that she was pregnant, and that she was expecting, there came the time for her to give birth. And so she went away from her community. And she went far. And then by a date palm tree, the pangs of labor came upon her. And she put her hand on the tree. And she sat there by herself, giving birth to a child. And no man had touched her. And she said, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in those pains, قَالَتْ يَا لَيْتَنِي مِتُّ قَبْلَ هَذَا. She said, I wish I had died before this, that I had not been alive to see this. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after pain comes ease. And so when she gave birth, her son spoke to her, Prophet Jesus alayhi salam, Prophet Isa. He said, لَا تَحْسَنِ. He said, don't be sad. قَدْ جَعَلَ رَبُّكِ تَحْتَكِ سَرِيًا, that Allah has placed a river flowing from underneath you. وَهُزِّي إِلَيْكِ بِجِدِ النَّخْلَ, and push and shake this date palm tree. تُسَاقِطْ عَلَيْكِ رُطَبًا جَنِيًا, that these ripe dates will come down for you, that you will eat and drink. And he's saying, فَكُلِي وَشْرَبِي وَقَرِّ عَيْنِ, so eat and drink and have the coolness of your heart. فَإِمَّا تَرَيِنَّ مِنَ الْبَشَرِ أَحَدٍ, because now she's given birth to the child. I hear a baby crying already. She's given birth to this child. And now she has to face her community. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives her that wahi, teaching her that if anyone comes to you, فَقُولِي, say, إِنِّي نَذَرْتُ لِلرَّحْمَنِ صَوْمًا, that I've made an oath to God that I will remain silent. فَلَنْ أُكَلِّمَ الْيَوْمَ إِنْسِيًا, that I will not speak to anyone. And I thought about this, subhanAllah, as I was preparing this lecture again. I thought to myself, and actually before I just mentioned this, you also see for any women who are expecting, it's really good to eat dates after you give birth. And the scholars mentioned this from this tafsir, that after she gave birth, she drank that natural water and she drank the ripe dates. And we know from the sunnah, the tradition of our Prophet, peace be upon him, is that the first thing that goes into the mouth of a newborn baby is the saliva of dates. A tahniq is to go into the mouth of the baby. And you also see that when she gave birth, it was told to her to shake the date palm tree. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen date palm trees, but they're not easily shaken. You can't easily shake the palm tree. And when you get a really big palm tree, basically when you shake it, it does nothing. But the scholar said that Allah doesn't just give miracles to the person in just for nothing. The person has to do their action and Allah will multiply the result of that action. And so as one of the companions came to the Prophet, peace be upon him, he said that we come to the masjid, we come to the mosque, and we have our camels. Should I tie my camel and basically like not place my trust in God? Or should I just let it go and hopefully God will protect the camel? The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, اِعْقِلْهَا وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Tie your camel and then place your trust in God. And this is the lesson that we learn. That Muslims, no miracle is going to come. The Christians aren't just going to miraculously hear about the message of Islam. You actually have to go and tell them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of the hearts. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that take care of our hearts. We don't take care of it. But we have to pass on that message. And so as I was preparing this, in a moment of ghafla, in a moment of, you know, I just basically had like a brain crash. And I thought to myself, you know, I always try convincing people about different things. You need to really come to the Al-Maghrib Institute and they don't listen, you know, some people. And I keep trying to do this. So I'm how do you get someone to do something that's beneficial for themselves? So how do you convince them? So I thought to myself, man, how is Mary going to convince these people? They're not going to believe anything. And I said a moment of ghafla, I totally forgot what had happened next. And then I turned the page in Quran. Those who memorize Surah Maryam, it's on the next page after that. You turn the page, and then Allah says, the best way to convince them is to keep silent. Don't even try to say anything. Just silence. And Allah will take care of it. And so they said to Mary, when she came, now you see Maryam, alayhi salam, coming with this baby. They didn't ask her, what's this? They said, قَالُوا يَا مَرْيَمُ لَقَدْ جِئْتِ شَيْئًا فَرِيًّا. They said, oh Maryam, you come with such an evil, immoral act. They made the statement before any questioning. She was guilty before any case could go forward. And then they started saying, what happened to you? You were a good girl. Your father was such, your mother was such. The أخت هارون ما كان أبوك امرأ سوء وما كانت أمك بغية. So her, how did she reply? فأشارت إلي. She pointed to the baby. And they said in reply, قال كيف نكلم من كان في المهدي صبي. They said, how can we speak to a child who's still in its mat, still in its still in the cradle. And so Prophet Jesus, alayhi salam, spoke as a baby. And from that message, what he said, and subhanAllah, he defined what his mission as a prophet of God was when he said it. The first thing that he said was, قَالَ إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ. He said that I'm the slave of God. I'm the servant and slave of God. He didn't say that I'm the Son of God. He didn't say that I am God. He didn't say, worship me. He said, I'm a slave of God. أَتَانِيَ الْكِتَابُ وَجَعْلَنِي نَبِيًّا. That he was a prophet and messenger. That he gave him the book and made him a prophet. Prophet Isa alayhi salam, the one, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, that he, the things that he came with, that he was blessed wherever he went. وَأَوْصَانِي بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ. That his message was establishing salah and paying of the zakah, which is the charity. وَبَرًّا بِوَالِدَتِي. And righteousness, and taking care of my parents. And you'll see, in fact, as you go through the Quran, these messages are the messages that all the prophets came with. The message to establish the salah, the prayer, the message to give the zakah. And this is who Prophet Jesus, upon whom be peace, was. Prophet Isa, alayhi salam, in Islam, who is he? He is one of the greatest messengers and most revered messengers to Muslims. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran certain messengers by name. And of those messengers, he mentions Prophet Jesus in many locations throughout the Quran. Not only that, but the Quran specifically mentions Prophet Jesus, upon whom be peace, as one of the five Ulul Azm. Ulul Azm are known to Muslims as the five messengers, the five prophets and messengers who had that extra level of resolve. And that includes Prophet Noah. It includes Prophet Abraham. It includes Prophet Moses. It includes Prophet Jesus. And it includes Prophet Muhammad, upon whom be peace, upon all of them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised the status of Prophet Jesus alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in one of the verses of the Quran, تِلْكَ الرُّسُلُ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, these messengers, that we preferred some of them over the others. That even amongst the messengers, there are messengers and prophets that have higher levels than the others. مِنْهُمْ مَنْ كَلَّمَ اللَّهِ. That some of them God spoke to them. وَرَفَعَ بَعْضَهُمْ دَرَجَاتٍ. And he raised others amongst them in higher levels. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَآتَيْنَا عِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمَ الْكِتَابَ وَأَيَّدْنَاهُ بِرُوحِ الْقُدُسِ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, after mentioning in general the prophets and how they had raised in status, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically mentioned of these prophets that were raised in status was Prophet Jesus alayhi salam, Prophet Isa alayhi salam, the son of Mary, that Allah gave him proof and evidence to assist him and supported him with Ruh al-Qudus, which is Angel Jibreel. Of the miracles that God gave to Prophet Jesus alayhi salam, was the time he brought some clay and he molded it and breathed into it and it became alive and it flew away. He was blessed with the miracle of healing the lepers, and he was blessed with the miracle of bringing the dead to life. Now normally in schools, when you have a cool guy in the school, right? He's cool. In other countries they say he's awesome. He's the person that everybody wants to be friends with, right? So let's say his name is Muhammad. He's the guy everybody wants to be friends with, so everybody's like, I'm friends with Muhammad. And then another kid in the school says, no, I'm friends with Muhammad. I bought him ice cream yesterday. And then the third person says, no, I'm friends with Muhammad because I had a big party in honor of Muhammad, you know, when he was away or something like that. Everybody claims to be friends with this cool guy. And what's interesting is with Prophet Isa alayhi salam, everybody claims to be down with Prophet Isa. Everybody claims to be down with him. And so what's the truth? And I'm not saying that it's Muslims and Christians. Even amongst Christians, there will be many different people that say, no, we are following the message of Prophet Jesus. And there will be people who are correct and people are incorrect. But what is the truth of the matter? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says and teaches us that Prophet Isa alayhi salam was one of the messengers. He was one of them. And as Muslims,
we don't distinguish between any of the messengers of God, that they're all messengers of God. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the truth of the matter, that it's not one person's claim that they're going to paradise or another person's claim that they're going to paradise. The truth of the matter is, بَلَى
مَنْ أَسْلَمَ وَجْهَهُ لِلَّهِ وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٌ فَلَهُ أَجْرُهُ فَلَهُ أَجْرُهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ.
The truth of the matter is this. مَنْ أَسْلَمَ وَجْهَهُ لِلَّهِ, whoever submits their face to God, وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٌ, and they are doing righteous actions ordained by God, فَلَهُ أَجْرُهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ, that he will have and she will have the reward with God. وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ, there's no fear to what's going to come in the future. وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ, and there's no grief to what came from the past. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the conversation that He will have with Prophet Jesus alayhi salam on the day of resurrection. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us in the Quran,
وَإِذْ قَالَ اللَّهُ يَا عِيسَى ابْنَ مَرْيَمَ أَأَنْتَ قُلْتَ لِلنَّاسِ اتَّخِذُونِي وَأُمِّيَ إِلَهَيْنِ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings Jesus alayhi salam, upon whom be peace, to witness. Did you tell these people, Jesus the son of Mary, did you tell these people to worship you? You went around telling everybody, hey everybody, worship me. Hey everybody, worship my mother. Did you say this? And Prophet Jesus alayhi salam, Prophet Isa alayhi salam says in reply,
قال سبحانك ما يكون لي أن أقول ما ليس لي بحق.
He said, glory be to you, and how far imperfection is from you or what people associate to you. I could never say anything except what you gave me permission to say.
ما قلت لهم,
I never said anything to them except
إلا ما أمرتني به أن اعبدوا الله ربي وربكم.
I never said anything to them except what you commanded me to say, and that is worship Allah. Worship God, my Lord and your Lord. And there are different passages in the Bible to this effect, and I'd rather not mention those passages. But when you look in the Bible, you see those verses. And for those who are searching for the truth, if you're still reading through the Bible, you will come across moments where there might be a verse that may not have been altered. Maybe in the translation it wasn't lost. And it actually says to worship the Father alone. You will see it there. To the people of the book, the Jews and the Christians, they are the creation of Allah as we are the creation of Allah. Their souls were created by God as our souls were created by God. And so this message of Islam, of submitting ourselves to God, is a message that every human has a right to. And Prophet Muhammad, upon whom be peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, he's the messenger sent for all of mankind. And so Allah sends a message. And subhanAllah, I'm humbled to even recite this verse. Hopefully, inshaAllah ta'ala, that it will reach many, many people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran,
يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ لَا تَغْلُوا فِي دِينِكُمْ وَلَا تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ وَلَا تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْحَقِّ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O people of the book, don't exaggerate in your religion. And don't say anything about God except the truth.
إنما المسيح عيسى بن مريم رسول الله وكلمته ألقاها إلى مريم وروح منه.
That verily, the reality of the Prophet Jesus, إنما المسيح عيسى بن مريم, the Messiah, Jesus, the son of Mary, is the messenger of Allah, is the messenger of Allah, and the word and the soul كلمته ألقاها إلى مريم وروح من. That is that soul that he blessed Mary with. فآمنوا بالله ورسله. So believe in Allah and His Messenger. ولا تقولوا ثلاثة. And don't say three. Don't say Trinity. إنما الله إله واحد. That verily Allah is only one. سبحانه أن يكون له ولد. How far God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, how far He is that He would have a child. له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض. That everything in the heavens and the earth belongs to God. وكفى بالله شهيدا. And Allah, God alone, is enough as a witness to this. Dear brothers and sisters, as we saw in the story of Mary, alayhi salam, that she couldn't get the message to the people. And so what did she do? She pointed to the baby, and Prophet Jesus, alayhi salam, in the cradle began to speak. And what's interesting is that even though this message is being said, there will people who will follow the true message of Prophet Jesus, alayhi, upon whom be peace, which is to worship God alone. And there will be others who will still claim that they're following Prophet Jesus. And for those who still don't recognize that, Prophet Jesus will be coming back again to tell the people what the truth really is. And so the Prophet, upon whom be peace, he said, that I swear by Him in whose hand rests my soul, meaning by I swear by God, surely Jesus, Son of Mary, will soon descend amongst you and will judge mankind judiciously by the law of the Quran as an honest ruler. He will break the cross. He will kill the pigs and will abolish the jizya tax. Money will abound when he becomes the king at that time, the ruler. Money will abound in such excess that no one will wish to accept it. A single prostration to Allah in prayer at that time will be better than the whole world and all that it contains. Dear brothers and sisters, in conclusion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands the Muslims to testify and tell the world what we believe in. And very often, you might hear, you go and tell people things and tell them about Islam there, and they will say, we didn't know this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in one of the verses in Surah Al-Baqarah, in the chapter of Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قولوا, say this. And inshaAllah ta'ala, inshaAllah ta'ala, I want you to repeat with me this statement that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to say. قولوا, and I'll say it and repeat after you. آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ. Say it. Which means that we believe in Allah. Say it, we believe in Allah. وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْنَا. And what was revealed to us. وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمِ. And what was revealed to Abraham, wa Ismail, and what was revealed to Ishmael, wa Ishaq, and what was revealed to Isaac, wa Yaqub, and what was revealed to Jacob, wal Asbaq, and what was revealed to the sons of Jacob. وَمَا أُوتِيَ مُوسَى وَعِيسَى. And we believe what was given to Moses and Jesus. وَمَا أُوتِيَ النَّبِيُّونَ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ. And what was given to the prophets from their Lord. لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ. لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ. We don't make any distinction between any of them. وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ. And we are the Muslims. Those who submit to Allah. In conclusion, inshaAllah ta'ala, I want to give this special invitation to my brother or my sister that's listening to this. Even though we have many people here and there are people around the world listening to this online, and inshallah, God willing, there will be people listening to this audio in the future. And so I give a special invitation for those who at this moment want to become Muslim. And I give them the glad tidings that all the goodness that they did before becoming Muslim will not be lost. But in fact, as the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, that the best of you before becoming Muslim are the best of you when you become Muslim. And so when a person becomes Muslim and surrenders their heart and their soul to God and obeys God, following Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and all the messengers that came before, all of them, without making any distinction, that there will be no fear for them for what's to come, and they will not grieve for anything that happens in the past, that paradise will be theirs, and they will be protected from hellfire. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said that if anyone testifies that no one has the right to be worshipped but Allah alone, who has no partners, and that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger, and that Jesus is Allah's slave and his messenger, and his word which he bestowed on Mary, and a spirit created by him, and that paradise, that they testify that paradise is true, and they testify that hell is the truth, Allah will admit that person into paradise with the deeds which he had done, even if those deeds are few. And in conclusion, inshallah, for those who turn their backs after having stumbled on the truth, and they might dust themselves off and continue walking in life, Allah commands us to testify. فَإِن تَوَلَّوْا, and if they turn their backs, فَقُولُوا شَهَدُوا بِأَنَّا مُسْلِمُونَ, then say and testify that we are the ones that have submitted to God alone. And so I say, نَحْنُ الْمُسْلِمُونَ, and you should say, نَحْنُ الْمُسْلِمُونَ, say it. سبحانك اللهم بحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك وأتوب إليك.